I'm Haley Haymore, the host of Purposefully Living Podcast, where I invite people who have shaped my life through godly wisdom. They have taught me how to live life on purpose, and I hope through sharing their testimonies here, we can learn how to live extraordinary lives. Welcome back to the Purposefully Living Podcast. This is your host, Haley. I have a very special guest today, James, from Liberty, one of my friends from Liberty. How are you, James?
I'm doing well. Yeah, class is going well.
Going well. Everything's good. We'll get into what James is up to pretty soon. Mm-hmm. He is a remarkable young man. One of my closest friends when I was at Liberty. He helped me with a lot of math work. You'll also understand pretty soon why. And he helped me with some cultural classes I had. And we went to, I chose China, and we went to Chinese restaurants, and he kind of showed me like the authentic meals and things like that. So it was really cool. Looking back now, you know, 5 years later, I'm really thankful for James and those times we had together. And then we lived on the same hall. So we were with each other about every day and saw each other every day, a lot throughout the day. And then spent our evenings together in the common area. So, James, how have you been doing in the last 5 years?
Last 5 years. Wow. Has been a minute, right? Graduated from Liberty in 2021. Graduated a little early. And then I just went back to my old high school to teach math. I taught that for 3 years. And then now I'm back at graduate school, studying math again, math PhD, yep, at Auburn University.
That's awesome, James. And I know that is what the Lord has called you to. And so kind of now let's back up and let's tell your testimony and kind of where you started and coming to America and your life in China in the early years and what led you to coming to America.
Yeah, so I came to America, came to Banner Christian School in Richmond, Virginia. It's a small private school while I was at the age of 14. And so I spent the next 11 years in the United States and doing school or being a part of a school. And so what initially came into mind, well, actually, we weren't thinking about, you know, going so far away from home, so far away from my parents initially. However, that all of a sudden changed because of one incident. And it's just very casual. One morning I woke up and then my writing hand starts to shake. So I thought it's, you know, just got too tired the night before. So I didn't think it was a big deal until it got worse and worse day after day. So about a couple weeks in, my mom finally took me to go see doctor, and we went to see a lot of doctors. And none of them knows exactly what was going on until we went to the best hospital in Wuhan, China. That's where I'm from. And to see the best doctor in there. And then I was diagnosed with this rare disease in my neck. Basically, the nerve system didn't develop properly. And the reason being is I put my head down a lot just to do homework, to write essays, to do math under the school stress in China. So I didn't really give my neck a break every frequently. And so, yeah, that's where it started. And that my neck is actually what's causing my hand to shake. So that's how we find out, oh, wait, it may not be a good idea to keep me in China for long because I'm not going to get much exercise time, which supposedly would help the disease. But no, I'm not going to have any exercise time as I get older. You know, that's just the stress among education back in China. That's when we are looking at other options and coming abroad to America to continue my education.
And so it's interesting now, kind of like, I was thinking about this because we actually did the podcast on Friday and we had some errors and we are now doing, this is their first one remotely. So if you do hear a little bit different voice or noise, it is, we're doing this through video. So we're looking at each other and we're seeing each other, but we're not actually in the same studio together. So it's kind of cool how technology can allow that nowadays. But I was thinking about it over the weekend and I was like, how amazing is God that this young man from the very beginning of time, God destined this guy to come to America, to be, go to a Christian school, to be saved, to be his child. And that what brought you here to start that whole journey was a disease. And so what looked on the outside as, man, this could be a scary, stressful time, or you're moving away from your parents and it wasn't a positive thing necessarily, he turned it into the most amazing and wonderful story ever. And I just think that's really cool. I didn't really think about it the first time that you were telling me the story, but it's kind of cool how God does that sometimes. Sometimes the things that seem negative or not what we want, it turns into for his glory in the end. And that's so true with you in this story. So I know you were telling me that, too, that you're growing up in China, you knew nothing about God. I mean, you said kind of like in the textbooks, there is, it does teach you the religion, but as we know, it's not a religion. And that your parents are more leaning, if anything, Buddhist, but also atheist. So kind of before we tell how you got saved and you're, you know, being in America and now in a Christian environment, kind of tell me what that was like growing up.
So growing up, I didn't have much experience with Christianity, really. Like you said, it's listed as a religion in our textbooks. So that's about the extent of my knowledge. They are churches in China where I am from, but most likely they are there for tourist purposes because the church building looks nice, first of all. And then it's also very historical. And the church was there before the city of Wuhan was established. So, yeah, it's quite an anchor, but that's the only reason that it still exists, I think. The sermon is not really gospel-focused, anything, because everything has to be documented by the government, and government doesn't allow you to speak too much about the gospel, unfortunately. So, no, I didn't really have a chance to know the true gospel. I only know such a thing called Christianity exists.
Yeah. That's interesting. And then your parents, they said that you were just whatever makes you happy. And so you kind of grew up that way where it was not pushing you or leaning you towards anything. And even now they just want you to be happy. So that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah, that's an interesting difference, too, than what you now know. But that's good that they were, because I know some, Liberty had a lot of, I was also thinking about this over the weekend. Didn't you go to like a Chinese church? Didn't they have that at Liberty? Yeah, so they had that. We had a very deep cultural, different cultures and things like that. I think one time I remember they said they represented like 80 to 90 different countries at Liberty. And I had some other Chinese friends and they also helped me with my math homework. And they actually didn't speak nearly as good English as you. And so we barely could understand each other with my country accent. But we played basketball together and we had class together and we had the best time. But I was talking to them and their parents, they did not approve of their relationship with the Lord, and they were not, you know, kind of shunned them a little bit and things like that. So, you know, for you to you had a family that at least was okay and whatever made you happy, that is a positive in that situation. So, all right, so you're in America, you're in a Christian school, and you're in an amazing host family. So kind of lead me towards that, how you got saved by your host dad leading you to the Lord, and just what it was like kind of going from that family dynamic in China to this host family now that is you're also your real family too now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I was here the first time I was here, I was 14, still a minor, of course, couldn't really take care of myself all by myself. So I had a host family, and they are very, very generous. But most importantly, they really guide me through and be my spiritual leader. Yeah. So along with that, the entire environment in my classes back in high school, among my classmates, all of them are really, really just nice and Christ-like. Well, again, maybe not all of them, but most of them makes me feel like, oh yeah, this is very welcoming. The biggest difference, the most significant difference between classmates here and classmates back in China is, and the classmates I have at a Christian school, I feel like they want you to improve. They want to help you to improve from the bottom of their heart, and I can feel that. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't the case in China, but I definitely didn't feel as much. Again, I still had great time back in China. I had great classmates, but it's very different when I can tell clearly that somebody is trying to help you out because they are called to do such thing. Yeah. So now going back to my host family, kind of interchange with my classmates and how they influenced me. I feel like I want to be a part of them and a couple months into the school year because how much they have helped me. And I just want to carry that on and then passing through people after me. So I was thinking about it, praying about it, even though I didn't really know how to pray, right? But I was just meditating on it, I guess. And so just one Sunday afternoon, I was in a basement. So I went upstairs to see my host dad. And, you know, Sunday afternoon, American family, of course, they got to watch football, right? I mean, it's funny. We literally just did our fantasy football yesterday. Yeah, yesterday afternoon. So it's quite interesting. So he was watching football. He was really is a huge fan, a huge Redskin fan now in the Commanders, right? So, yeah, and say, hey, can we talk about Christianity and the Bible? He immediately turned off the TV, and I know for sure that he desperately wants to finish off the game, right? Just pulled off a Bible under the coffee table, and then we started our, I guess, 2-hour-long conversation. So then after that, he has conversed me to a Christ follower ever since.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So kind of lead me now. Okay, so you're Christian, you're 14, you mm-hmm. finish out your school at that school, and you're trying to go to college, mm-hmm. and you're really good at math, and you know what you want to do and what your goal is, and what the Lord, you feel like you know what the Lord's calling you to. How did you get to Liberty, another Christian school? Yep. It seems like your life is always pushing you towards the Lord heavily. You go to America.
Yeah,
you go to America, Christian nation. You go to not only you go to the Bible Belt of that part of the country, the South. You go to a Christian high school. You go to one of the most amazing, it sounds like, Christian host families ever. And you get saved, and then you go to a Christian university. Mm-hmm. So kind of tell me how that happened, and mm-hmm. what was your life and your experience like at Liberty?
Yeah, so it's quite interesting because while I was picking my choices for college, for undergrad, Liberty was probably in the third, but definitely not the highest one, I can tell you that. And then senior year, CFAL, college for a weekend, a very special tradition at Liberty, right? So that event really changed my life in a sense and changed my decision. So it's just simply a miracle that God has poured into my life that pushed me to choose liberty. Yeah. And then, funny enough, it literally happened again while I was picking graduate school, I guess, what, 4 months ago? Auburn is definitely not my top list, not even top three. It's probably in the bottom of my list. I can safely say that. But on my visitation, it's just everything changed. Once I step on campus, I feel like, and I know, it's more than a feeling. I know that God has been calling me to come here and then continue my education here at Auburn.
That's awesome. And Auburn, too, is one of the more conservative university. It's not a Christian, but it is a more conservative university in America. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how, again, the Lord leads you to somewhere else. He wants your the way you are in your worldview to be not protected, because you are strong in who you are, but you know what I mean, where you're like in a place where you're like minded a little bit. So it's kind of funny. So with CFAL, same thing happened to me. My parents actually didn't even go with me to Lynchburg. They didn't even think it was a big deal. They were like, oh, she's not gonna go there, she's too far away, blah blah, blah. And I literally, as soon as I went, I was like, and I didn't go places by myself. Like, I was 19 years old. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I did not go to places by myself without my parents or like someone with me. And I drove there by myself and I was like, this is it. I felt the Holy Spirit all throughout the campus. I knew everything they do, it's on purpose. They're for the glory of the Lord. Whether it's, I always tell people, whether it's putting a trash can somewhere and the placement of that trash can on campus, the music as you're walking through campus, if the building is nice, doesn't care. We're building it, we're tearing it down and building a better one because it's for God's glory. Like, it's just so cool how they do. And you can see and feel that everywhere. And so, just a little bit, what was your experience like at Liberty as a student? How did it grow your faith?
Well, it definitely prepared me a lot more as a Christ follower and as a leader. I mean, college, undergrad is where you figure out, okay, what's my future profession, right? Thankfully, I already got that part figured out since I was very, very young. I've always liked math, as you know. And also, I've always loved to be in the classroom to teach. The reason being, I was very, very grateful for all my teachers, every single one of them. I think all of them have impacted me in their own ways, and without any of them, I'm not going to be who I am right now. And that includes my teachers in China who are probably not believers, and my teachers in my high school and the professors that I saw at Liberty. And so all of them, I appreciate them so much. I don't know how to be thankful enough to all of them. So my way of saying thank you is to become one of them again. So that is why I have chosen to be on the other side of the classroom and then, you know, carry on their legacy. And without the education I've received from Liberty, I definitely wouldn't be able to know, you know, what is Christ like, or how to deliver that Christian education. Sorry, the dog. I think I was saying that without any of my professors at Liberty, I wouldn't know how to deliver Christianity in any classroom setting. And yeah, they taught me well. They're teaching Christ among math classroom, and which, you know, we'll talk about that later, but it's just awesome. It's something that I never thought or never experienced at all.
I agree. Same thing happened to me. They are teaching you and that's what the school's for, the biblical worldview of everything that's going on in life and within the politics or whatever. It's not choose one party or the other. It's what, or, you know, choose this right or wrong. It's what is the Bible saying? And let's go back to the Word of God and let's see what's happening there. And then that's going to help us approach the situation. And it's the same thing happened to me in the classrooms, and whether it was statistics or a business class or whatever. I mean, obviously I saw it in the Christian classes. That's all we talked about. But in other senses, you know, mm-hmm. how did that relate to the Bible? And it does. And or we would start with prayer or whatever the case is. So I love that. So kind of moving and segueing from that, you're going to be a math professor. You have already been, and now you're at Auburn, continuing that education. How did you find your purpose? Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about how math relates to the Lord. Huh, how does that work? But we're going to talk about that. So how did you kind of come to that solution at the beginning of the year? And how did you find, how did the Lord really call you to your purpose and show you and guide you to that?
Yeah, so I can share a little bit throughout the whole year. I actually, from the very beginning of the year, I was just praying. I said, okay, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for the students? So I've been praying for weeks, and the answer I got, it's simply, well, another question from him, what can you do to further my kingdom? I still remember that. So, and then I was meditating on that question, okay, so what can I do, right? Teach math at a Christian school like I was already doing, which was great. But, yeah, it's nothing special. Then just one random day back in, I guess, March. I just said, okay, why don't we shoot a video to tell the world, or just tell any of my audience, you know, how math can be related with God. And you probably don't even see the relationship, but oh my gosh, they're so related. And I would like to, you know, tell just about everyone about how they relate. So then I proposed the idea to my high school math teacher, who happened to have a son who is a professional photographer. So we just hit it off, and then we produced the video, I guess, in April or May. And yeah, here it comes. That's how it started.
That's awesome. So how can you further God's kingdom? So you asked him a question, what's my purpose? What can I do for you? Mm-hmm. And he turned it back with another question. And kind of hearing your story, it sounds like, whether you like it or not, like all of us, you could not get away from the Lord. He constantly had you somewhere, a strong, strong pull to, you're going to this school, you're going to go to America, you're going to go to this family, you're going to go to this college, and you're going to continue to further my kingdom with math. So the video was incredible. That's kind of how I wanted you on here. That's how I thought of it. Of course, we follow each other on Instagram and stuff, but I haven't seen you in 5 years, 4 years. So I was like, how I, you know, it just made me think of it when you saw the video. I had my whole family crying, because it is amazing that this young man is wanting to use what the Lord's made him for his kingdom in a mighty, mighty way. It's not, I'm already at a math, I'm already a professor or a teacher at a Christian school. What else can I do? And you thought, that's not good enough. So what else can I do to do more and abundantly for the Lord? And so you came up with this video to show how God relates to math. So kind of let's, as much as you want to share a little, and I'm going to put the link of the video into the show notes, so you please go watch it. But so share just a little bit about that.
Yeah, so okay, I can definitely see that math, and even probably some Bible class, even among Christian schools, may not be your favorite class to pick or to take, right? Most frequently asked question, how is this useful? Or how do I see math in daily life? And then, you know, atheists will ask the question about God, how do you see your God in your life? Well, I mean, no, I'm not looking at him right there. It's not right there in front of me, but truly he does exist everywhere. So I will give a simple illustration. There you go. Let me grab a pencil real quick. Oh, yeah. Right here. So let's do a little experiment. I'm going to throw the pencil from my left hand to my right hand. Well, if I don't have terrible aim, is it going to hit? Well, sure enough, it should hit my right hand, right? Let's do a little mathematical or logical analysis to that. Do you agree for the pencil to hit my right hand, it needs to travel the halfway point, so it's about here, right? And then it needs to travel another halfway or half distance, so right here. And then repeat the process again, again, and again. But what you will find out is, okay, there's always, 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 always that remaining halfway that you are not going to reach. So what does that tell me about the pencil's current position and my right hand? It is never going to hit my right hand. So what is wrong with our analogy? I mean, truly nothing, okay? Truly nothing. But so is our real life wrong, where nobody should ever, you know, gravity isn't a true thing, or what, right? So yeah, what's going on wrong? Well, the answer is really, how many times are you going to repeat that process, that halfway process? And the answer is, actually, you need to do that infinitely many times. And yet, infinity? Are you serious? In such a simple action where I have to utilize the idea infinity? In such a simple action? The answer is yes, absolutely, you do. Now, what is infinity? That's another long story question, right? So, no, we don't understand infinity. We couldn't comprehend it wholly. Just, it's not possible. We are finite, and infinity is not finite. So it's not us. But in such a simple action, we do need to grab some idea that's totally out of our knowledge and human mind. So, yeah, in such a simple action, we do. And we absolutely do need the presence of God.
And the video is a lot more in depth, so I do encourage you to please go watch that, and you'll understand it even better, what he was saying. But it is amazing. I watched it probably 3 times, and I was in tears every time. It's really good. James.
Yes.
You said that this was my American grandma question, but how is your faith so strong? You said that... You know, it was kind of funny that I would think this because a lot of people ask this, but you were brought here and essentially on your own. You had a host family, but you could kind of make your own decisions and not have to do what they were doing and different things. And you weren't pushed by your real family, your biological family, to have a faith in God and everything. So how did you decide, I'm going to be a Christ follower from such a early age and so devoted and so passionate about the Lord?
I think even before I was a Christian, I think I have the moral standard that will fit in into the Christian circle pretty well. So it wasn't a huge or very difficult transition for me in the very beginning. But more so, it's... I just feel like I was so drawn into the sacrificial love that people gave me. Being a teacher, somewhat is always going to be a sacrifice, right? So, yeah, but I can really just see Christ being the best teacher, having the most sacrificial love, and I just want to really devote on that.
That's awesome, James. I just want to tell you, you are an encouragement to me. You always have been, for your strong faith and for always trying to pursue the Lord in everything you do. I see that evident in your life as who you are as a person, in the classroom, in the hallways, and I know now as a professor at Auburn, being as another student, wherever you are, a friend, everything. So thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I guess I can bring it to the verse that I shared in my video, my life verse. Actually brought it up by one of my college professor. I think it's from Jeremiah 10:14. And it's just an encouragement to me. I know it's not a very common one, but it just truly humbles me a lot to let us know who we are and who he is.
And that says, everyone is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is shamed by the idols. The images he makes are a fraud. They have no breath in them. So what does that mean to you, James?
Well, it just means that we, no matter how smart, how brilliant, or how many degrees that we obtain, we are just basically what the verse is saying, stupid and without knowledge. And he is calling out for all humanity about that. So, yeah, just because we couldn't see him truly, we couldn't understand everything fully. We couldn't comprehend the idea of God and the idea of infinity fully, and we never will. So we can always approach and get very, very close to it. So it humbles me greatly, but at the same time, it pushes me to pursue what is the truth and what is eternal.
That's awesome. I love that. That's humbling that a smart guy as you is saying he is without knowledge, without the Lord. And that is so true. And again, an encouragement that you love as much as you love school and learning and all the things, and you still know that without him, without his kingdom, furthering his kingdom, like you said, your life's goal and life mission, and hopefully in the classroom, without all of that, you cannot do any of it without God. Mm-hmm. And so thank you so much, James, for coming on here, for being an encouragement. I hope it encourages you as much as it encourages me, that whatever your life's goal and purpose is in life, and whatever you feel the Lord calling you to, it is to further his kingdom. It doesn't have to be ministry. It doesn't have to be going and preaching the gospel.
Right.
That just being an example in a classroom, simple as that, you can change lives just as James is going to and as he already has. So go out there and seek your purpose from the Lord and purposefully living, what this podcast is all about, to encourage you to seek your purpose and to seek God. Find that purpose and do it with all your heart and with all your might, and to further his kingdom, because that's what you're made for. And James, I can't wait to see what the Lord has you for, what he continues to have you for, and I'm just blessed to know you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, everyone, go watch James' video. Learn something.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Thank you, James, and thank you, Purposefully Living Podcast. Can't wait till the next one. See you soon.